is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 202 in the series. We are now producing in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. The Economic Development Subcommittee meeting, chaired by Councillor Melanie Hamblin, met on Wednesday, February 5th, 2020, at 5:30 p.m. Town Administrator Jamie Hillen, Councillor Andy Bisanti, Councillor Glenn Jones, Community Development and Planning Director Brian Taberner, and Councillor Eamon Earls spoke during the meeting. Town Administrator Assistant Chrissy Welton, Admin Assistant Alicia Aline, and Joseph Halligan from the Planning Board participated but did not speak. Town Council Chair Tom Mercer was also present for part of the meeting but did not actively participate to avoid the open meeting law requirements. That is, you can't have more than four councillors in a meeting without having a town council agenda posted. The discussions, as posted in the agenda prior to the meeting, focused on the Economic Development Committee goals and a prioritization review of them. The second item was a lot line cleanup, areas near Pleasant, Chestnut, and Brook Streets. This is something that's been underway for a while and is the next step. And as you hear in the meeting, there'll be additional ones of these coming through the EDC meeting through to the town council during the rest of the year. The show notes include a link to the agenda. And without further ado, here's the recording for the meeting, which lasted approximately 80 minutes.
We ready?
I just flipped the switch.
Okay, so this meeting is recorded by audio. And so tonight we have two things on our agenda, our EDC goals, prioritization review, and a lot line cleanup from Brian. And so first we'd like to go over our EDC goals. Mm-hmm. Would you like one?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so glad that's on the recording. Please silence all your phones.
Uh-huh. Unless it's good music.
It is pretty cool.
Perfect timing.
It was like you're giving the Mission Impossible theme before the meeting.
Like, you know, talking about our goals.
It is not a Mission Impossible. We can absolutely. We can do this.
This is the team. We are the Mission Impossible team.
We can do it.
Should have been We Will Rock You.
Correct. So, okay. So Jamie and I came up with a couple of ideas on where we would like to start. Do you want to?
Sure.
Talk about it, or do you want me to? You can take it away.
Really quickly, if we could, Madam Chair. So this is the list, just as an outline. Mm-hmm. This is the list the council y'all approved a couple weeks ago that was on the EDC list, goals list. Obviously, you know, things will come up during the year that are not on this list. Some of these things we may find to be unachievable, but. As I think the chair was just explaining, we did meet really quickly to just carve out the EDC stuff, and you know, try to put them in some semblance of order of general priority. And you can see I put in red on this list the things that have like minor updates associated with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the chair thought this would both be a good idea to go through and have an opportunity to ask any questions from the staff. Brian's here as well about where, you know, if there were any other things that the group wanted moved up the line. Some of these we don't really have an option. And I can speak to those too. Some of them are in process, but it's really a discussion for the EDC members to try to prioritize. The truth is, as we all know, although we all want these priorities done 2 weeks ago, you know, we all want everything done now, and that's what it is, but we do have a two-year session, and you know, we do need to phase these things over time so the mm-hmm. staff has some digestible bites where we can actually do these things right.
Good
and
work.
Have enough to do. So it's really up to you guys to ask any questions and to really chart the path, you know, moving forward. Although I would say, if you can look at the sheet, you know, it seems like, you know, the spring and winter are fairly booked. with stuff that we're already kind of working on. So I'll leave it to you to have a discussion with everybody about what they may want.
Right, so the one of the things we thought about was that since we will have our housing authority presentation on our next town council meeting, mm-hmm. we thought the EDC meeting after that, that's when we would talk about the inclusionary zoning bylaw.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And then, so that we would have that presentation fresh to be able to think about what, you know, our next EDC meeting and what we want to talk about and how we want it to go. It might take a few meetings to get through all that, but I think we should start. And then we wanted to, hopefully there will be a presentation about the economic profile that the town did, and then we could talk about the results of that and what we would want to do with that. Mm-hmm. Would be both the next two EDC meetings. That's sort of what we had discussed, and I thought that made sense if you look at the presentations that the town council will receive. Okay, so that's kind of what we were thinking.
Mm-hmm. I like
okay.
it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Good to me. No.
Yes. Councilor Bassanti?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I mean, my manifesto during my the election was inclusionary affordability and inclusionary open space, which is also a component of the, as you know, Jamie, that the over 55.
Over, yeah.
I'd like to continue that, but not just for over 55. And it's such a simple component. I don't know if we can also discuss that with the affordability, Madam Chair. So
you would like to add the overlay, yeah. the open space overlay in with the inclusionary zoning?
Yes, Madam. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I just had a question when you said the economic profile of the town council. Mm-hmm.
This is good. You know, Councilor Bassanti wasn't on the council
right.
when this project started. We're fortunate enough to have Mr. Tiberner here. Brian,
yeah.
maybe give a quick
yeah.
overview on
the town.
That's a good point.
Is using Metropolitan Area Planning Council as a consultant essentially to do an economic development study. A market analysis for the town, and they basically a market position, so we summary, so we can actually try to attract certain type of businesses to town. Things
I remember attending a meeting like that on my third term, but was it at the Marriott? When
that was
me,
totally,
you, Jeff, and
yeah.
at the Marriott.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually the website that we had developed, and a few other things
okay,
like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And we introduced some programs that we had going and everything. But this is actually is strictly a study, and hopefully we'll come up with some recommendations on where to go from here on. Because we have a great downtown, but you know, a lot of people saying, well, there's nothing to do,
yeah.
or we don't have the right mixed businesses or whatever. So those are the type of things we're looking
okay,
at.
Okay, great.
And it's for also not just the downtown, but it's for the so-called crossing area. Down in Cottage Union.
Which I consider like the second down, you know, some
yeah.
people call
yeah,
it the second.
Exactly. And also the Mixed Business Innovation Zone, which is Clark Hutton and McDermott area. So,
I don't know who else is attending that tomorrow morning. I hope to be there. But, yeah.
So also,
there'll be a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also, there was three meetings, and there was a survey, mm-hmm. so
there's been a lot of work.
There's been
a lot of input.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to...
a lot of data.
MAPC yeah. on Friday to see where we're going and try to get the thing finished up.
Yeah. And we have, Councilor Bassanti, on the town website, we have a new economic development page
mm-hmm.
that will continue to grow with, I think, some of the ideas. You know, I think
wonderful.
To Brian's point, you know, it's going to show some of the things we do well in Franklin, mm-hmm.
right.
the gaps in the market. And some of that early data is already online from some of the presentations that were required that
I think
Councilor Hamlin was referencing. There's a lot of data. It takes a few times to read it. There's so much information in it. But it is on the website under the economic development page right on the homepage. So you can take a look at what's been done already. And we have not released the survey results yet.
And I yield the floor.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we can't really plan exactly to have that in April then? Because we might not have that.
That's right. Actually, I think, are you getting an update on when that might be wrapped up? Did you say by the end of February?
I'm talking to MAPC on Friday. I have a conference call going.
So okay.
I'll figure it out at that time.
So I think tentatively we could say if we get that presentation in March, then the EDC can talk about it in April.
Right.
Right? What we want to do.
Yeah, sure.
I think one of the things.
Yep. Councilor Jones.
And I know we had spoke about this, and Brian, we've talked about this many times, is potentially bringing back another economic summit that might highlight these aspects, just to try to have a forum to invite people to.
Well, when Jeff was here, he says, no more forums for a while, one of those things. And I'm like, I understand, because there's always a lot of projects to go.
Yes.
And these can be time-consuming, but I think that we could
logically speaking, but I think within the year, now that it being February, if we could come up with something, I definitely think it would be a benefit, especially considering the economic times that we're in. It would be great for us to truly highlight what our growth opportunities are here in the town, and especially in regards to the economic profile of the community. This presentation that we have in March could segue into an economic summit to broadcast, to invite businesses and residents in to see what our type of growth is. There's so much potential in this community. It's not even funny. That's good.
Okay.
I just want to comment that Glenn did a great job with those, by the way.
No.
And with Brian. I don't know. Didn't you guys do them together?
He did a lot of the footwork. I was.
Then Brian, you didn't do anything.
Well, I feel like
it was well presented, is what I'm saying.
It was well done. The two summits we had were very significant and useful. They were during some of the more difficult times in the community the early 2010s and so on. But now that we're in actually some economic growth, it's nice to be able to get out there and highlight really what the bigger benefits are in comparison to some of the surrounding communities that we have around us. Mm-hmm. We still have, my best understanding, even you correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, some portions of our commercial industrial base that is still currently available for growth.
Very little.
Very little?
Not much left.
We have very little land, very little available buildings right now.
Well, I mean, so existing. Yeah. Even existed. Well, Cutler Clark would fall under.
Well, Clark Partner is a good example, sure. If anybody has 10 to 20 acres of manufacturing type land, I can practically find somebody tomorrow. We just don't have that kind of land.
The Abdullah land.
We just don't have that land.
Well, I think that's a good idea because especially if we use the information that we get from this survey and all this information. I mean, this is why I feel we had this economic profile done.
Yes.
Is then we can reach out to businesses and make and do this economic summit and bring people in.
And have a significant amount of data.
I would like to also make it to maybe focus on minority businesses and women-owned businesses and see if we can bring more diversity into our businesses. So that would be the economics. Well, Jamie.
So, on that point, I think, this was a big portion, and Councilor Jones, a lot of Councilor Kelly, everybody 4 years ago when I got hired, was this kind of, communication aspect of improving things. Mm-hmm. And, a portion of Anne Marie's position is getting to that area of what are the gaps in our profile and what clearly the surveys show. Mm-hmm. I think some of those things we know, outdoor cafe, outdoor seating space, some of these other things that maybe aren't always on the front burner, that there's a lot of disposable income in this community that's looking to be spent here, that's being spent in other towns. And, I think what my expectation is that this committee and, Brian as well as Anne Marie and myself and others are going to try to help connect some of those dots from the business development world and look outside the normal Franklin Town boundaries for outside investment of how we can get those folks to come here to fill some of the extra spaces.
We have a Dollar Tree now.
Well, right. I mean, we also have projects going in across the street that hope to have some additional economic development too, which I think will honestly show with the profile that people are looking for some of the additional amenities that we talk about frequently,
right.
Not just the trampoline park, but other things for people to do. And I think that's a hard task to accomplish. You know, we're not going to be able to turn around in a few months and accomplish that, but I think one of the things that we envisioned, you know, Anne-Marie's job being is getting out and marketing a little further to get the brand of Franklin's notoriety to a little further than just the people here. Not just buying, but how do you get that investment of that restaurant to come and say, oh, I know I can do well in Franklin. And we know we have a lot of folks in town that are good at that, mm-hmm. That do it. And I think we need to keep on pumping that a little bit more. And that's something that I hope she'll take on an additional role of working with Brian after this study comes out, and hopefully there's some recommendations in it.
And again, this is all a little premature, and these are discussions we should definitely be having as we progress towards having both the presentation and a potential summit. But it's to also highlight some of the significant economic changes we've made to promote the town. For instance, the breweries, the distilleries, and
yep.
all the various mm-hmm. types of zoning and changes we've made from
Mixed Business Cutler McDermott
area, so on and so forth.
Clark Cutler McDermott.
Thank
it's
you.
More than just that, though.
But, no, understood, but there are so many different things within even just the past 5 years that we've made significant changes of in order to promote the economic growth of the
Absolutely.
Community that definitely need to be highlighted.
And cultural district.
I was just going to say, adding the cultural district on makes it
so
huge.
Many different things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pot stores.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Definitely. It all works. It all helps. Right? Oh.
There he is.
Excellent time.
Councilor Earls just joined us. So come over here. Because we're talking about our priorities, what we want to set up. If you have any ideas and thoughts right now to add, we've talked about, I don't know if you've looked through this, the reason why Jamie and I met and we talked that we should, we're going to have the present, we're going to set our agendas according to the presentations we get in the town council, right? So we're going to have an authority, housing authority presentation next, in February, so our next EDC will try to talk about inclusionary zoning and affordable housing and things like that, right? So we're going to try to keep all that information fresh in our brains
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. to be able to discuss. And so then the meeting after that hopefully will be about the economic profile that mm-hmm. Brian will present and what we want to do with it. And Councilor Jones suggested an economic summit.
Great.
That will bring up to date really fast. So
appreciate the brief
review.
Do
you have any other ideas that you think you would like to?
Or questions?
Or questions.
I think it's a good overview. And I'll think throughout our meeting today if there's anything additional I would add to the list.
Oh, okay.
No, just really quickly, Councilor.
Yeah.
I know if you look a little further down the line, one of the items that you had brought forth at the council meeting was reviewing the biotech bylaws
yes.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to, now's probably not the time, but I think Brian could talk about this a little bit. But the new style project that's on here, it was referenced that this is something that when the timing's right, I didn't put a timeline on it, but. Brian, as everybody knows, we'd had an RFP put out to, and a business owner on Grove Street had responded, and we'd had originally an agreement on what to do on that Grove Street parcel. And obviously, as everybody knows, that project didn't end up coming to fruition. So the town still owns that property, and community planning office, particularly Brian, has been working really hard with a bunch of other landowners on some extraordinarily bold and innovative ideas on what to do down there. And I think part of the biotech review of the bylaw, there's some biotech possibility to that project. And we've been having a lot of calls from some business owners in town, some significant businesses up in the industrial park looking for a lot of extra space and some additional buildings. And I think he's come up with some pretty bold ideas on that. So those two issues I'd like to kind of piggyback next door to each other. I think the new style project in and of itself is something that needs to have some focused attention when the timing is right, hopefully this year. But I think to piggyback that with the biotech piece,
yeah.
you know, makes a lot of sense. If you
Yeah, maybe ask a simple question, I guess. If for instance, in 3 weeks from now, I tell you, I'd like to present to EDC something, and I suppose we can move something like that up.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Definitely.
Because, we, you know, this is something that you know, the EPA wants something down. You know, everybody's pushing on this. This is an important project. Yeah. So right. If we can get any movement on it at all, I think it's time to just do it.
Undoubtedly.
So, so maybe, it's only you know, maybe forever. We come back next meeting, even in a, we say there's an RFP ready to go. Yeah. You know,
right. Take I mean, a review. I think we're all
I don't really know yet, but we're working on this stuff so, as we go. So,
Councilor Earls, you have a...
Through the chair, if I might. Yeah. One other thing, I was just looking over the list here. Does 300 Fisher Street belong on this list at all? The former plastics factory or other...
That's federal.
So there will be I don't believe it belongs on the list. I will say this, that I believe by the time the summer comes, we'll be prepared to give at least the EPA, is going to be prepared. They're going to be producing a document on a status report, essentially, on where they're at. Mm. And I think that that's probably something I could either certainly bring here. We could digest it a little bit more in depth. The interesting thing about that parcel is I think all of you were on the council, and you might not have been on it this time, but
which one?
If folks on 300 Fisher, if folks remember, we did rezone areas down there.
Yes. Right. I didn't know what the reason.
And there was some residents that showed up, or a resident who was opposing the zoning change down in that particular parcel.
What did you rezone it to?
We didn't rezone 300 Fisher Street at all.
Okay,
we left it as is, and there was a pitch to make it residential, but it's a Superfund site, so I think. From last time we met with them, I believe that they were looking at a May-June timeline for a status report, and it's still under the control of the EPA. Mm-hmm. And then I think at that point we'll try to evaluate whatever the outcome is, and we could certainly bring it to this group to digest a little further, but I think it will also warrant just a broader community update too, mm-hmm. you know, about where that's at. Because they've done a lot of work down there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, under the chair?
Yeah. Councilor Bassanti?
I'm not aware of, based on what I know about contaminated properties, is it your intent to rezone it to residential?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's not what we wanted.
Okay. Because you can't have
children. We're going the other direction.
Yeah, you That's can't correct. Have children on a contaminated site.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Councilor Earls?
Through the chair, if I might. One other thing, I mean, this is probably further down the line, and that's if it even comes up, but with the evolving situation around Dean Foods and the bankruptcy law, bankruptcy activity in Dallas, would we want to look at the future of the whole property around Gerlich?
So here's an interesting question. I'm glad that you brought that up. Brian and I were just having this conversation the other day. That area, that's generally controlled by the Burnham Family Trust, numerous parcels of there, in addition to up Maple Street, mm-hmm. has never really been visioned out.
Right.
And now you have a couple of scenarios where you have a golf course that the golf industry in general is not as strong as it used to be, the milk industry is not as strong as it used to be. I think that down the road, once we get a better handle on where the bankruptcy proceedings are, that definitely may be something that we could we've talked to the staff level that we'd like to try to talk globally about that, because those businesses have been there for decades and decades, mm-hmm. and I don't think anyone's ever evaluated. It's right on the other side mm-hmm. of the
forge. One of the most transit and road accessible places in eastern New England.
Well said, yeah. I mean,
and it's big.
There's a lot of opportunity, I think, over there in a lot of ways. You see Milford Regional Hospital showing the interest in that. You see that
interest
in Bellingham.
As well as the Westerly and so forth.
Absolutely, and so... I don't know when the right time is. I have been in touch with the owners of the property and at least their counsel, just to alert them to what we've talked about before, which is pretty publicly known about Dean Foods. And I don't want to jump the gun, but I think that's certainly something we could deal with. It's not on this yet, but certainly we would bring it to this committee if we could look at that. Yeah.
I found their headquarters in Dallas and made sure to scowl at their building, look menacing at them. But certainly, I think that's a very important thing to look into. Obviously, we hope that Gerlich and those businesses already there will continue, but certainly something we should be ready for.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Councilor Jones.
Following in line with what he was saying is I definitely think we should have a sooner than later discussion in regards to potential uses of that property.
Yeah.
Kind of call it devil's advocate and say that they will go under, just say, like you said, hopefully they won't. But that is a significant prime piece of real estate that could be overlaid back right into just continue the industrial zone right into there for an extension of biotech or even other high-tech purposes.
And I suppose with you know, bankruptcy proceedings, even if Garlic Farms processing facility itself continues, they may shed parcels to help pay off their indebtedness.
Yeah, they could
well, it's actually the underlying land is owned by the land trust, so they're not the ones actually having the financial issues. Of course, they're probably not getting their rent money, but
Jamie. Question. Thank you, Madam Chair. So a little bit down, the approval of the snow removal bylaw on sidewalks was an item that we obviously brought forward that I was hoping to talk about for a quick minute to give some direction so I'm not coming back and forth, back and forth. I mean, the clear consensus I got from the full council was to have the EDC review that.
Yes.
We obviously have plenty of time, not going to work for more snow, but I think what I heard from the group was
specifics.
Was specifics. And I thought, if it was okay with you, I talked to the DPW director, and we were, like we did with the downtown parking map, we were thinking about doing the same thing in this case, was to actually do a map so that in the bylaw we weren't taking pages and pages upon what's in, what's out. And it seemed to be that the consensus of the group was to see something more visual and maybe a little bit more practical. I think Councilor Kelly brought up, like, what if it's a business, residence, business, you know, and there may be some inconsistencies on the sidewalk. I just wanted to ask if that was, did anybody disagree with the approach of maybe having a map put into the bylaw, like we did with downtown parking, and or if there's any other feedback we could get. I think it would help Kate and Brutus be able to put together at least a beginning proposal that we'd like to bring before you guys.
Well, I would say that I wrote map down.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I know
So I think it would help everyone to see what we're talking about, where, and to continue on with.
Undoubtedly.
Councilor Jones.
Even if we went with our downtown district zone or similar to it, showing the highlighted areas that we ultimately will, even if it's not business. Because the thing is, we might even have to simply do away with simply saying it's a business expectation,
exactly.
And saying it's a district expectation, you know, and saying, you know, we're looking for certain either downtown district or for all intents, I'm really stretching this one out here, cultural district, which is a stretch because that goes to the high school.
Right.
I know that much. But my point is that we pick a district and we say this is our area that we really want to focus on, making sure snow removal is a priority, both from the DPW and from the citizens who live in those particular districts. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
That's two for a map.
Councilor Earl.
That's two for a map.
Thank you, through the chair. I would definitely agree with Councilor Jones. I think as initially proposed with the sort of approach of businesses only, it created a potential for sort of a scattered coverage for snow removal. I had a chance to speak with a few different folks throughout town about this, and you know, many people reminded me that in many towns, and even still, it's common for people within particularly more urban areas of the community to be required to clear their sidewalk, regardless of whether they're a resident or a business. You know, obviously that these days provokes some complicated discussion because, you know, some people are disabled, they can't actually go and do that, or they may be in dire financial straits and not be able to afford a contractor for that. But you know, I think that's something the town of Franklin could work with people on, and you know, make exceptions for people that, you know, if you're a quadriplegic and you can't go plow your sidewalk, the town can make an allowance for the DPW to come and resolve that 50-foot section of the sidewalk or whatever. But something that perhaps prompts pretty evenly businesses and residences to go clear their sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if it's okay with everybody.
Councilor Bersani, did you have anything to add?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I kind of piggybacking on Councilor Earl's comment about those not physically capable of shoveling, well, financially capable of shoveling their walkways in front of their establishments. I just don't know how you get around that.
Hopefully neighbors. Maybe, you know,
I mean, we're talking about, we're getting into a utopian world where people help each other. And I, not to sound cynical, but I really don't see that.
We have some work to do, I think.
But,
right?
It's a wonderful
app. Yeah, right? The app.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to have to talk about it, I guess.
Well, yep.
I just thought that, you know, I could at least have the staff start working on a starting zone of.
Yep.
The clear consensus from the group that this checkerboard approach was not going to work, and I think Councilor DeLoco brought up the priority of the T, and everybody kind of brought up some great comments, and I think Brutus is trying to package that together, and so if I got any feedback tonight, you know, I was going to pass it along to him so they could work on at least the beginning, you know, so we can react to the map and however we want to move forward with that. And I will admit, you know, when we did get the request to put the bylaw back on the books, I admit that, and I think I said it that night, the it was in passing at the Finance Committee meeting, a couple of other councilors said they wanted it back, and so I at the time thought the, when I went back to look at the record, it was clear that, you know, to put the old bylaw back on just seemed like the path of least resistance. I think this is an excellent conversation to have. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of time to have it. And I think the map idea is something that Brutus had brought up because it was pretty successful with the downtown parking, and it's worked really well. So, you know, we're going to look to replicate that. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Councilor Pisanti.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So, I just don't get it. So what is DPW saying? They don't want to shovel, they don't want to maintain the sidewalks in front of establishments? Is that the crux of all this, or is that what's driving this? Or?
So it's not that they don't want to do it. It's just there's a clear prioritization ladder of the five truck route, the parking lots, the schools. There's a series of things that just by the time you get to the sidewalks, you know, I think on the sidewalks further out from the downtown, I think, you know, maybe those aren't as traveled as much, you know, the frequent walkers, but I think in the downtown area, it just is one of those things we constantly get phone calls about right away. You know, everybody wants their street plowed first. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. But I think we were looking at this as a way, given the cost of snow and ice removal these days, as a way to try to kind of help the businesses themselves have those pedestrians walk in, you know, have those streets, have the sidewalks cleared. So it's not that they don't want to, but in a big storm, they got to go through, get the snow off the road, then they have to go back out with the loader, pick up the snow, dump it where you're authorized to dump it. And sometimes it just doesn't
didn't
happen as fast as we...
Didn't we have a little bobcat or a little bit?
Yeah, it's not as expeditious.
No, we don't. It's going to be a high priority for next year's capital plan. It's pretty much next on the list for next year's to get a new sidewalk plowed and beaten Bruce down for a couple of years to get another one.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. So, Councilor Earls.
To the Chair. I think one thing that would be interesting, an idea that I've heard circulating recently, and I'll be first to admit I have not researched this at all, so it's at the level of just being an idea. Is there a possibility to create, you know, some form of legal structure or trusts within our zoning system so that private roads could self-finance, you know, for larger developments when we do have them, or, you know, elder housing and things like that, where there may not be a clear HOA property manager sort of setup, but something that would avoid the town having to absorb private roads as we've been doing recently, which obviously continues to contribute to our rising snow removal costs. There's a thought that I'd heard floated by a few different people, so I was curious to pose that as a thought for the EDC. So,
Councilor Pisanti.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, that was part of my mantra chant during the election, that we think about these smaller subdivisions, private roads, small, you know, and to address your concern, yes, that would be the way we should be going forward with new development, because these homeowners associations put less stress on our infrastructure and on our DPW and public services. They maintain their roads, they maintain their sidewalks, sometimes they even maintain their lawns. So I think that's the future, but we have to get there.
Okay, so we could add a discussion about that maybe when
that
we
could
do
go
the
under,
snow
that
removal.
The DPW.
Okay, so we'll add that in there to the map and the, all that possibilities.
Sure.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else to add, or
yeah,
I think we're done, right?
I do know. I want to add. Okay.
He's looking at his clock. So
6 o'clock. I'm just making sure we're on time.
Okay.
Councilor
Jones.
Yes. Just thank you. The future agenda item to have a discussion on removing Res 7 from our books.
Okay.
Altogether.
I think it was on there at one time, wasn't it? No. Okay.
Yeah. Why?
Mm-hmm. We have a discussion about
just
it.
Just a discussion.
So, Great.
Okay. All right. I think we can. Right. We can move on. Do I have to get a vote to move on? Okay. Because that was pretty.
In the chair, you can move on.
I think we have a lot of things to do, right?
Absolutely.
So that's good.
Undoubtedly.
You know, keep meeting, right? And so next on the agenda is the lot line cleanup number 3 that we are looking at. There's near Pleasant Street, Chestnut, and Brook Streets.
Madam Chair, I will have to recuse myself.
And, okay, Councilor Bisanti needs to recuse himself.
Just call me back and I can come.
Okay, well, this is the last thing, so. Can take a walk if you want. it's okay.
Take a walk.
Go get dinner or something. So, Brian.
Yes.
Again, you're on the floor.
This is one of the many that will be coming to the council. The one that's in front of you is kind of, it's really a scattered area. I mean, focused around. It's hard to, and I don't want to do amendments where you have one or two parcels, so
right.
We're trying to get a section of town at a time.
Yeah.
In this case, most of these parcels are on adjacent to, or right on the line with single family tree, which is the darker, the brown, you know, brown area there.
Okay.
In most cases, I think there might be one or two that are not. Councilor Bersantes is actually the one at the top there, up next to the word proposed and current, rather.
Gotcha.
I'll give one to our friend Andy when he comes back too, but I did, just so people understand, I did make this up after the last town council meeting where there was a little debate about what actually you can have in a R2 opposed to R3, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you can pass those down.
Excellent.
I made up a sheet that would
excellent
help in that in, on that matter.
Okay. Hold this off the other day.
Thank you. Yes.
I have it on my computer.
And one too.
Thank you.
So, just so you understand what this is, as the attachment 7 is the first top, the first half on the top, and attachment 9 on the bottom. These are just little pieces of those attachments that relate to residential housing, and you know, so. The top one is the district, and all of those columns have some sort of housing that is allowed one way or the other, but I just highlighted the ones more to the left. Rural residential 1, RR2, you get single family 3A, single family 4, and then general residential 5. Those are most of the ones that we're having zoning map changes on. Okay, so that'll show what's allowed and what's not by right and by special permit. Down below are the lot dimensions, minimum yard dimensions, and things of that nature. That the differences between those, so there won't be any more. You know, just pull this out and take a look yourselves, and you can ask all the questions you want. But at least it will help out.
This is great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. So on the go back to the amendment that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It is a large area, but really it is, really we're taking, in most cases, we're just taking the residential 3, for instance, and is going with that one, unless it's, how many parcels we have? We have two of them are town, two First Universalist Society own a couple.
Right.
They're really not a lot here. And most of them are, where it says R1 and R3, we're going with R3 in most cases, unless it's obvious reasons why I shouldn't. So, if you have any questions,
you mean single family residential 3?
Single family residential 3, correct. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, in-house we talk about a residential 1 through a residential 7, but actually there's, you know, the definition is a little more detailed than that.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
No, looks good. And just out of curiosity, Brian, if I would ask a silly question.
Councilor Jones, I don't know. No, go ahead. There's no silly questions.
Thank you. This is going to be an ongoing revision of the zoning map as you go along. How many more do you foresee?
I've got three more ready. There'll probably be three or four or five after that. I'm not sure exactly. Depends on, you know, a lot of them are, there's one or two in a neighborhood or mm-hmm. something, and I'm just kind of just leave them alone for now.
Okay.
But then there's other things, like, for instance, you know.
The reason I ask is that if you have several zone maps that you want to update, would it be wise to do multiple areas and present them all at once instead of doing kind of one at a time?
The reason we do it this way is it's in bite size, okay? Because we have to give a notice to all the different parcel owners, mm-hmm. okay? So if there's, say, there was at one time 500 different parcel owners, mm-hmm. You had, you know, this is actually a small one in comparison mm-hmm. to some of the others. We usually have about 20 or sometimes 25 parcels. Mm-hmm. This one's relatively easy, and that's the reason that, you know, somebody asked for something easy, and that's where we ended up with this one.
Yeah.
I have three more in here that they're similar, but they're actually more parcels related to them.
Gotcha.
So we take Lincoln Street from here to here, and the next one goes here to here, right. And, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm working the way up Lincoln Street.
Yeah. Oh.
Jamie?
Just really quickly to Brian's point, you know, as you can tell, to write these takes quite a bit of time. And then frequently, you know, Brian and Amy also get a lot of phone calls, and sometimes they have to sit down with landowners, walk them through. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. each one of these is in bite-sized chunks where, at the ground level, it actually, there's a lot of staff hours that go into all this.
No,
and so I think
understood.
If we did, you know, 100 parcels at once, it might be a little,
yeah,
might be a little overwhelming.
Well,
or 50, even.
If I may, for clarification, but not necessarily presenting them as they come, but letting them collect during the year and then present them all.
Right.
At, like, the fall, instead of...
Oh, do six at once?
Right. And just kind of collectively collect them. Or does it matter?
For my purposes, it doesn't matter, except that, again, if you have five different ones and they're going to go to the council mm-hmm. roughly at the same time, they're going to be public... The public process is at the same time, so whether I have one amendment or 30, it doesn't really matter because I'm still communicating with the same number of people.
Right.
You know, so you know, I think that's the issue.
Okay.
Personally, I like having it broken up like this, and we do a few at a time, and it doesn't become like, I can just imagine that night when we go through all of them at once. It would just be forever.
You don't want me to read all of them?
I
think we can all agree that we don't want Glenn to talk for 3 hours on zoning changes.
Share the pros on them.
I just wanted to mention that years ago, before I was here, they started this project a long, long time ago. And there were some amendments that were, I looked at them and I'm like, oh my God, like 75 parcels on them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you see these folders that are in our, about this big, with all these memos and letters and, you know, all these things that, you know, communications related to with property owners. And so, I mean, it can be really, you know, a problem. Right now, we might have, out of this one, we'd be lucky one or two people come to the counter or call us up and we talk to them a little bit, and that's everything's fine. Most cases, people don't go to the meetings even because they get, you know, everything's answered in advance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you take the time to write a letter about why they have something in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it answers most of the questions right off the bat. So,
good. Well, so long as you're happy,
right? And I think that goes to show the level of service that everybody here in the town hall provides for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. I guess the only question I have is how fast you want them. I mean, I can have one or two every single meeting, but I think it's just a matter of what, you know. What
I'm willing to do a couple.
I'm ready to rally.
I think we could do one or two.
Lot line cleanups.
Right? And then we'll just go, every time we meet, we should at least have one.
All
right.
Right. Yeah, in regards to that, I mean, the crux of my question is to try to get you to the end game.
No, well, you know, it's funny. Like last time when we started this up, we did like six in a row, and then it was like, hold on. It's like, okay, I'll hold on. But then it was a year before we got going again. So I think if you just do it continuous, regardless of what's happening in the world. Just keep going.
How much time we got left here, Brian?
All right, so your next meeting, we'll have one at least one.
Do one more.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any questions about this? No. Okay, so I would. So we need to vote to send this to the town council.
Motion to send to town council.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we will move this to the town council.
And one refused.
That will go off the town council for us to send to the planning board. Yeah, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and I would...
stand a motion to adjourn.
Yes, I would.
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Andy?
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use this information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.